That song, Footprints of Jesus, that was one of my favorite songs when I was here. I never heard that before I came here. I came here in 1997. And that song, I love to sing that song. And that's the first one that we sang tonight. And I haven't heard that in a long time. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 14. James chapter 4, verse 14. The scriptures say, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. You know, when I first met Joe West and Brent Riggs, Missy and Linda and Cassidy were just kids. Now they have kids of their own. I remember when I first came to San Antonio, there were many people here then that are not here anymore. Some of them with the Lord. I remember Mrs. Sprague. She's such a sweet lady. And I remember Bill and Rita Hodgkinson. Now that was a sweet couple. They're in a better place right now. The scriptures say, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. When I was here last, my son Shane, he's a crawling baby. Now he's 5 years old. And Reese was 9 months away. Now he's 3 years old. Now you may be asking, is a song that goes, and I'm going to sing it. It's a secular song. Good morning, yesterday. You wake up, and time has slipped away. And suddenly it's hard to find the memories we left behind. Remember, do you remember the times of your life? Now what in the world does this have to do with missions, missionaries, and the field? Well, I'm going to tell you. We're running out of time. We're running out of life. When are you going to start your mission trip in your mission field? Sometimes this happens in Poland. I'm sure it happens in Mexico too. I don't know. It depends on where you work. You have these Christians spending thousands and thousands of dollars to fly all the way to Europe. They don't speak the language. They have nothing in common with the people. But they're spending all this money to go on these mission trips. Over the years, I've had an opportunity to talk to some of these people. And I've asked them how they're involved in America, in their mission field, to reach their people for Christ. The answers would not surprise you. They leave me wondering, why in the world would you spend all that money to come all the way over here just for a couple weeks when you're not even reaching your own people? People you do speak the language, and you have a lot in common with. When I found out that this was the missions was the topic of the missions conference, I thought, what better opportunity to emphasize that there needs to be more people in this church reaching the American mission field, reaching the San Antonio mission field, and reaching the Texas mission field. There's a lot of people around this city that have never heard the gospel of Christ. Excuse me for my English. You know, often on the streets, some of these guys know this. Often on the streets I say, before I start what I call preaching, others don't call it that. I often say, excuse me for my strange accent. Well, I have to ask you guys, excuse me for my strange accent. I am not from Texas. From the land of steers and queers, but California. So I don't talk like you guys. But anyway, often I pray to God and I ask, please give San Antonio, please give Oakno a moving of your spirit. If God moves, He could put 200 to 300 or more new converts in this church. Now that would be a real revival, and only God can give it. But as Brent often tells me, reminds me, God uses people to preach His Word, and then He brings revival. Let's see, let's read our verse again. You're running out of life. You're running out of time. When will you start your mission trip in your mission field? Now, what I'm talking about is wherever you are, that is your field. Randy's in the training mission field. Mark and Bettina are in the business mission field. Some of you guys are in the police mission field. You know, I could go on and on. But you guys get the idea. Wherever you are, that is your field. You're in San Antonio, this is your field. And every Christian is supposed to be a missionary. Some of us are supported to do it. Others are supposed to be doing it on the side. But all of us are supposed to be missionaries wherever we go. But this verse tells us that we're running out of time to do anything in our fields. Let's pick apart this verse and see what the Lord wrote through His apostle. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Now this was a shocker for me on a couple of occasions, let me tell you. In 1995, I was in Czech Republic. I was there teaching in a public school and supposedly holding Bible studies for people who were interested on the side. Before I went, my mother's cancer was supposedly in remission. I was in my classroom one day trying to teach English, something which I had never done before, to these Czech students. The secretary from downstairs came up and she knocked on the door, and in broken English she told me my brother was on the phone downstairs. So I went downstairs and I got on the phone. My brother says, "You want to see your mother alive, you need to get home now." It's a couple hours I was on the plane, and as I flew I was praying and asking God, please give me one more chance to talk to my mom before she's gone. I got into San Francisco airport and I took a airport shuttle to my dad's house. I knocked on the door. Dad answered the door. He said, "Go upstairs, shave, wash your face. We're going to the hospital now." We got to the hospital. My family was waiting in the waiting room. And I said, "Before I go in there, tell me, what does she look like?" I was trying to prepare myself to watch my mother die. But sports fans, how can you do that? How can you prepare yourself for your mother dying? They said, "She looks terrible. You got to get in there." So I went in there. My sister took me to the room. And suddenly, God answered my prayer with a yes. I went in the room. The mother was in the hospital bed. And the pain she was experiencing from the cancer eating away at her brain was so bad that the drugs they were pumping into her weren't making any. My sister left me there alone with her. God answered my prayer. But there I was. My mother was dying, and I was in shock. I didn't know what to say. So I stood there by myself with my mom dying for 10 to 15 minutes, not saying a thing. God answered my prayer with a yes, but I dropped the ball big time. A few minutes after that, later, my sister came back and said, "Come on, we're going home. You're sleeping in my house tonight. We'll come back tomorrow to spend the day with Mom." And I thought, I'm saved. Oh, yeah, I'll get another chance tomorrow. Went home with my sister and got up the next day and prepared to go to the hospital. Just as we were about ready to leave, my uncle came in. He said, "Don't bother, your mom died this morning." God gave me a chance. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I thought I had tomorrow. But you don't know either. None of us do. The people you guys have contact with, your friends, your colleagues, people you know, you don't know you'll see them the next day. You don't know you'll see them on the morrow. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. Remember a time Brent and I was meeting Brent to preach in front of the Metro. Subway in English, okay? In front of the subway. Brent came down and I was standing there, minding my own business. Brent came up to me and he said, "Mike's dead." I said, "Mike who?" It was some guy that both of us had taught English with several times over the years. He wasn't very old, was he, Brent? Or so we thought. He went to bed one night, and he never woke up the next morning. I guess, I don't know. We don't know. It's a mysterious thing. He died suddenly, and nobody knows what killed him. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how long the person you come in contact with is going to live. You don't know when they're going to step into eternity. You're running out of time. You're running out of life. When will you start your mission trip in your chosen mission field? Mañana, mañana. Mañana. Tomorrow may never come. Didn't come for me that one time. And I'll regret it for the rest of my life. Our verse once again, James 4:14. For what is your life? What is your life? Work, church, TV, motorbiking. I heard that's a new thing in this church since I've been here. Very dangerous thing. I tried that for a year or so. I thought better of it. Eating. You fill in the blanks. What is your life? You know, our heart, it could stop at any time. It's only a little electric impulse that keeps it going. And you know, that's not a big thing to hang the riches of eternity on. It's like Brother John was saying this morning. You know, we have riches to win or lose, positions of honor to win or lose, depending on how we serve Christ in this life. The scriptures are pretty clear on that. Not exactly clear exactly what they are, but they're clear that the riches are there for the taking for those who sue the serving. What is your life? When are you going to start your mission trip into your chosen mission field? Let's look at our verse again. It is even a vapor. You know, vapor is a very fragile thing. You can see it coming off tea. We drink tea over there a lot. You don't do that much here. We drink a lot of tea over there. And as you watch the tea, you can see the vapors coming off. But you got to look close because it doesn't jump right out and catch you by the eyes. You got to look close. But your life is just a vapor. It appears for a little time, and it's gone. The people in Haiti today, you know, those people, they woke up one... They woke up one day, greeting their mom and dad in the morning, and they went off to work or to play, and they never saw their parents again, or their children again. They know how life is so fragile, it's just a vapor. When are you going to start your mission trip into your chosen mission field? Today is the only day thing we have. We don't have tomorrow promised to us. According to these scriptures, let's read on. That appeareth for a little time. You know you're getting old when the child protective cap on your bottle of mouthwash is ever harder to get off. You know you're getting old when everybody coming off the bus at the bus stop walks past you on your way home on the sidewalk, and you are convinced that you are not walking slow. You know you're getting old when you have to use both your hands to cross your legs to tie your shoes. Folks, if you can relate to any of these things, can't you tell that your body is giving you signs of things to come? It ain't going to be any easier in the future, sports fans. Our life is getting short. There's a Christian song that says, give them the strength of your youth. Right? You know, one day, at one time, before I met Brent Riggs, I didn't have this great... Well, I cut it short, you can't see it. Before I met Brent Riggs and Joe West, I didn't have gray hair. Before I met those two guys, I didn't have the wrinkles I have now. What that has to do with Brent Riggs and Joe West, I don't know. Maybe it's just time. Or maybe there's something in common. That appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And vanisheth away. When I was young, due to the sin of adultery, my mom left my dad for another man. Because of that, largely, I was raised by my grandma and my grandpa. They were more than grandparents, than just grandparents to me. My grandpa died in 2001, after 9/11. When I was in California at the funeral, I was standing by my grandpa's casket, looking down at his dead body. And my aunt, his daughter, was standing beside me, looking at him. She was holding on to the casket. And we stood there for a long time. The people from the funeral home, they came to take the body away for cremation. And my aunt was still holding on to the coffin, the casket. And she said, no, please, don't. Just let me look a little while longer. After three or four times saying that, I reached my hand around her shoulder and I said, Auntie, Grandpa's that's just his body. And he ain't coming back. Your life appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, why is that different from our lives? One day your life is going to vanish away. And everything is written. When that day comes, it's too late to start your mission trip. Everybody's saved in heaven. You're not going to be passing out tracts there. You're not going to be walking around trying to talk to people about the Lord in heaven. They're all going to know. We're going to know as we are known. Now, I don't know, have no idea what the extent of that means. But we're going to know the Lord. Everybody there. And our opportunity to serve Him is gone at that point. And then vanisheth away, never to be seen again. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. That's in the Old Testament. We have to say that sometimes in our church in Poland. So I'm sure there's nobody here that has that problem. It's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. This is an interesting verse. I got this from Mr. Spurgeon, Brother Spurgeon, my favorite preacher, Brent's favorite preacher. Now, where is it? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. It says, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. This one portion. In the evening withhold not thy hand. Some of us are reaching the evening of our lives. We've seen a lot. We've done a lot. Retirement is or is near. We're slowing down. Everything hurts or is going to, depending on the day. There's an old saying. The old saying, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, is looking better and better. But Solomon says, in the evening, withhold not thy hand. John Knox. I love it. I love reading church history. I mean, real church history, not the Catholic stuff. Real church history, because some of those brothers and sisters were awesome. Anyway. And John Knox was one of them. If you don't know who he was, you ought to. John Knox was a Scottish reformer whom Bloody Mary, Queen of England, said of that she feared one prayer of John Knox is more than 10,000 French soldiers. Now that meant a lot in those days, because the French were an ever-present enemy. According to history, John Knox lived to be a very old man, even though there was a whole lot of Catholics that would love to have slit his throat. It is also written that he was still preaching in his 80s, even though they had to carry him into the pulpit and prop him up to preach. History says that he would understandably start off very weak. But as he continued, it is said that as he preached, he would ding the pulpit into bonds. Which would mean he would hit the pulpit so hard while he preached, the thing would start to break apart. Those of you who are nearing the evening of your life, withhold not thy hand. Start your mission trip today. Spend the rest of your life spreading the gospel as you go. Spurgeon, I think even Pastor Kincaid said this one time. I will die in my harness. What about you? You'll have the eloquent preachers like these brothers to share the gospel with somebody else. In the movie Narnia, anybody see the movie Narnia? It's probably called something else in the States, right? One person saw the movie? Okay. Fine. I'm going to give the illustration anyway, and maybe it'll take hold. In the movie Narnia, I don't just probably call it something else, The Chronicles of Narnia or something. But anyway, in the movie by C.S. Lewis, there was a great scene. Just before the great battle, the prince came riding up on his horse, and he stood beside his general. His general was a very muscular, half horse, half man, centurion. This prince draws his sword and looks at the army of the enemy. This thing is a huge army. And with a look of doubt on his face, he turns to his general and he says, "Are you with me?" And this general looks at him with a surprised look on his face and he says, Lord Jesus is our friends. He could ask any one of us the same question. Are you with me? Are you willing to say to the desire? Let's read our verses again. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. And all God's people said, Amen.